Solomon, chapter 5. I do apologize for you that like the book of Revelation. I haven't forgot that. Seemed like for the last three, four weeks, maybe even four or five, we've deferred off of that. And just felt like the Lord led us that way. Not that I've give up on the book of Revelation by any means, but I don't know. I guess since Brother James went to the hospital, things of that nature, and other people sick and been preaching, trying to preach anyhow, encouragement and faith and trust in God, things of that nature. And I appreciate what the Lord has done already, don't you? Amen. I appreciate the Lord touching Sister Janine. I'm telling you, that's a great testimony, Sister Janine. The Lord did that for you. Amen. We're just trusting, and Sister Vicky testified the other night, I think going a couple of weeks, and I'm sure most of us that don't have headaches and migraine headaches, we don't, you know, we're thankful for that, but boy, if you was the one having it every day for months and months and years, to get a two-week relief, amen, is just great, and so we're thankful to the Lord for that. Again, good to have Brother James's family here, and Cassandra and Wesley, and all the visitors. But I want to try to preach out of this particular book, Song of Solomon, and verse 1. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse 1. The Bible said, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Verse 2 says, I sleep. Now this is talking about the female. I sleep, but my heart awaketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and the locks in my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat, she said. How long shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. The word bowels means heart. My heart was moved for him. She said in verse 5, I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I think that would be one of the most terrible feelings as a child of God, to find yourself in a slothful condition, an unresponsive condition, as she was. And then finally be awakened and aroused and rise up and open the door to allow him to come in. And when she does, he's not there. And she recognizes and she said, my soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Let's go to Revelation chapter number 3, if you don't mind. Revelation chapter 3. And with the Lord's help, I'm going to try to get back into Revelation. Maybe after this revival, get things sort of settled back down to where it's us again and not so many visitors. But in Revelation chapter 3, of course, I know most of you probably already know the scripture I want to use is in verse 20. When Christ here is talking to this church. And he said, behold, I stand at the door and what? And knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy. I thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, there's great scriptures here, great texts, and I feel very inadequate, Lord, to expound on them. But I know I need, God, the unction from the Holy Ghost of God. So I pray tonight for clarity of thought and clarity of speech, and help me tonight to say exactly what the Holy Ghost would have me to say, nothing more, nothing less. In Christ's name we pray, and everybody says, amen. How many services have we been in, just like this morning, where you hear and can feel the Spirit of the Lord talking to hearts and talking to lives, and that prime opportunity is there for somebody to open their heart to him, but yet you feel it doesn't happen. Amen. I want to preach from the Song of Solomon. As reading some and studying this chapter, this book, there actually is some Christians who even shun reading this book. They feel like it is so sacred, and they don't understand all of its pages and all of its verses. The Jews would not allow, in biblical times, the Jews would not allow their children to even read the Song of Solomon before the age of 30. And the reason is because they taught them that the Scripture, the Old Testament, were holy, but the Song of Solomon was the holies of holies. It means the finest of all songs. Song of Solomon, amen, the Bible said, wrote over 1,000 songs. 1 Kings 4:32 tells us that. There's a couple meanings here. There's a historical meaning of the Song of Solomon. The historical meaning is the Jews saw in this story a picture of the relationship between Jehovah God and Israel. And the second meaning is a typical meaning, and it is the relationship between Christ and the body of Christ, or the bride of Christ. We are counted, how many knows, as the bride of Christ. Amen. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he what? May be found. Call upon him while he is near. In this text that I have read in the Song of Solomon, it is very sacred. And even reading today and studying this text, I felt very inappropriate, inadequate, I mean. Amen, to try to endeavor to preach from these scriptures. But I'm going to have to with the Lord's help. I felt like the Lord dealt with me about this. Matter of fact, this is probably one of the scriptures that personally has helped my heart. Anybody got their own scriptures, as Brother James talked about, that has pulled you through some times, that has talked to you personally? Well, this is one of those verses, and this is one of those texts that Brother Russell Harris, that has helped me, amen, when I hear the voice of the Lord tugging on my heart. I remember several years ago now, amen, that I read that verse in verse 6 where she said, my soul failed when he spake. And I remember very discreetly crying and sobbing, placing my hands over my face and saying, Lord, I have been where she's at. There's been times that I have felt like the Lord had talked to me, but I failed to heed, amen, and listen to what he said. I wish I could tell you as a pastor that every time God ever spoke to me, I instantly listened and obeyed every single thing that he spoke to my heart since the day I got saved, but I can't say that. There's been times that I have did just like this, amen, bride. She failed when he spake. Now notice here, the Bible says, amen, she says in verse 2, I sleep, but my heart waketh. Amen. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh.
Amen. She is already laid down for the evening. She's already went to bed. She hears, amen, and is awakened. Her heart's awakened. She, amen, hears the voice of her beloved. It's him that's knocking, amen, outside the door. Amen. She hears a gentle voice. It says, open to me. Open to me. And, the Bible here is so descriptive. My sister, he said, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. I mean, we would say it if it was in 2010. We would say, open up, honey baby. Amen. Open up, sugar plum. Open up, sugar dumpling. Hey, sweetie pie, open up the door. All right, y'all smiling now. Don't get, wouldn't you? Not Brother Russell, not him. Is that what Brother Russell said? Open up or else. I can just hear now. Woo! You always have Mr. Macho in the crowd. I like that, Brother Russell. Amen. Open up to me. Amen. And so here he is. Of course, this is a beautiful picture of the Lord and the church here and the bride of Christ. And so he is wanting to come in, and so her heart awakes, and she hears the voice, and the Bible said of her beloved, and she hears him knocking and saying, open to me. Amen. And then she said, in my locks with the drops of the night, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I, amen, defile them? She said, I sleep. You know what the Bible said for those that sleep? The Bible said in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, that it is high time to do what? To awake out of thy sleep. Can I say this to the church in 2010? I want to tell you, amen, we've talked a little bit about Revelation for the last few months, amen, but all you got to do is listen to the news, read the newspaper, amen. And I mean, you can sense and see that we are down to the closing moments of time. We don't got to argue over pre, mid, or post. That's ridiculous to argue over that. The point is he is coming. And if the church ever, amen, be awake, amen, and be adequate, amen, it is in the hour that we live in. Amen. Notice what the Bible said. Amen. Luke 12 and 19. So thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, what? Eat, drink, and be merry. But the Bible said in the book of, I didn't have this in my notes. Amen. But what is it? Hey, the book of Amos, thank you, Lord, where he said, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Amen. Amen. It's not good wisdom to be asleep. Amen. In the house of God. And I'm talking spiritually, speaking here tonight. Amen. Here the Bible says she hears his voice. Amen. You ever heard the voice of God? You ever heard the Holy Ghost give tongues and interpretation? The Bible teaches us that God knocks by his word as he did this morning. He knocks by his spirit. Huh? Anybody ever been checked by the Holy Ghost? He knocks by affliction. Amen. David said, I would have strayed but for my affliction. David said it was because of his affliction. Amen. Because he sought God. Amen. God knocks a lot of times to get our attention in different ways. By his word, by his spirit, by affliction, by even our own conscience. Huh? He calls sinners, amen, into, amen, covenant with him, and he calls the saints into communion. Notice what he says to her, open to me. Now, I want you to notice this. Amen. I want to take my time here. When you compare this story to Christ in the church, amen, how many times when you read Revelation and you read that chapter where he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. When you read that church's description, we've not got to that one yet in our Revelation series. But when you get to that church, I mean, you just think of that church of the Laodicean. I mean, it's almost like the worst one out of the seven. Anybody else would agree with that? It just looks like the worst church out of the seven churches. Amen. But you know, you say you're this, you say you're that. You say you're rich and increasing goods and have need of nothing. But he said, but I say unto you, you're poor, you're wretched, you're blind, you're miserable, you're naked. Help me, Holy Ghost. Amen. But then when you get down to the end of that, and then he said, but I stand at the door and knock. You almost want to say, why waste your time? Amen. Why waste your time knocking on a church like that? Amen. Sometimes holiness folks would think of that. Oh, God's never, he doesn't ever deal over yonder. He never deals. He only deals. No. If you read Revelation, that's different. Amen. I'll tell you, God to go to a worldly church, God to go to a Baptist church, amen, and knock on hearts and lives, amen, when the word of God is preached. Amen. I'm telling you, God is knocking on hearts and lives of the church in this last hour. I just read this week of a preacher friend of mine, Brother David Lamb. He preached last year in our fellowship meeting, who wrote the book about the Trinity, disputing the oneness doctrine. And Brother David Lamb just had a revival up in the hills of Kentucky in Hickory Gap, Holiness Church. And in 11 nights, they had 70 people saved. And you just don't understand. This church is not on a four lane across from a Walmart. This church is about 10 miles up a holler, up on a hill. I'm talking about a hill. I mean, you probably couldn't even have church if it snowed a couple inches. Amen. And 70 people get saved in 11 nights. I asked Brother David, I said, man, what in the world? What'd you do? Just come off a 70 day fast? Amen. And he told me, no. Amen. Did I say 70 day? 40 day fast, I'm in. I don't think you can make it 70. Amen. But 40-day fast, he said, no. But he's been praying and fasting and seeking the Lord. He'd been on several 40-day fasts. I will say that. Amen. But anyways, Brother David said, no. He said, that church, I had a little bus. And the pastor sort of got discouraged back in the fall. Amen. Actually talked to Brother David about selling the bus. Amen. And somehow they said, well, a young couple in the church got on fire for God. Come to the pastor and said, we'd like to start a bus ministry up this holler and pick up kids. Well, they did. Next thing you know, they had 5 kids, 10 kids, 20-some kids. They was bringing 40-some kids on Sunday morning. They bought another little church van. Amen. Started running 2 van loads. Well, when it got there, amen, that was last fall. Brother David just came there a month or so ago. Amen. All those kids, amen, all their parents came to church and got saved. Miraculous revival. You ought to hear them tell about it. Read about it. Amen. Why? It's because the church began to get hungry. This pastor that thought about selling a little church van, amen, began to buy a church van. And what happened? I'll tell you something. God will bless a church when it wakes up out of its sleep and rises to the occasion. And I want to tell you, I personally would love to rise up and get closer to God in this last hour more than I have ever had. There's been a hunger. There's been a craving. Amen. I've been wanting more of God. And I read this text again just the last 2 or 3 days. And I said, God, I feel like you've been knocking on my heart. Amen. But I don't want to be like this bride that laid there and was lazy and slowful and didn't want to rise up and let you in. If you're getting the picture here, she said, my soul failed when he spake. She didn't just say, I will not open. And be just openly defiant. But she had her excuses. Huh? Did she not? Amen. How should I put it on? I've took off my coat. I've washed my feet. I fixed my hair. You want me to run? I got my new suit on. You want me to dance? I got my new shoes on. You want me crawling the floor? Now, that's just giving you a figure expression. Huh? But and I'll tell you something. What she did here, she did not just openly say, I ain't going to open this door. But she gave her excuses. And one commentator said, and he referred back to that scripture in the book of Matthew. Amen. That one, I've actually haven't looked at it the last month or so, even thought about preaching on it. Amen. Where they go out and invite them back to the wedding. And the Bible said, but there were some that made light of it. And one commentator said, this bride's excuses here was like the same thing that the scripture said, amen, in Matthew 22 and verse 5, when they made excuses, amen, but in Christ said, amen, the Bible said they were you're making light of. Anytime you make light of the Holy Ghost talking to you. We had a good man stand behind this pulpit, amen, Wednesday night, Brother Joe, and he preached about listening. Are you with me? No, hearing what God says, doing what God says. Amen. I want to hear what heaven has to say to me. Don't you? Christ calls out to us to open to Him. We have pretend sometimes we don't have no mind. We don't have no strength. We don't have no time for God. Amen. And don't you get hurt at me. But you can tell people's priority sometimes. Their attendance in church will tell their priority. Amen. I'm not talking about if you got a sick child or have to work. I'm not ignorant. Amen. Amen. You can tell their priority when they come in 20 minutes late every service. Come on here now. Don't get quiet on me. I'll tell you, if you're putting God first, you won't be 20 minutes late every service. You might be late sometimes and due to circumstances, but when you're 20 minutes late every single service, days you work and days you don't work, there's something wrong with your priorities. Now look at me. Amen. I'm not mad. My face is not red. Smoke's not coming out my ears. But I'm telling you, it's a sure sign that you're asleep. You're not on fire for God. Amen. When you can come to church 20 and 30 minutes late every single service, you almost want to stand up as a pastor and say, please set your alarm clock 30 minutes earlier. Case over. Problem solved. Amen. You'll never have to be late again. Amen. You can get mad at me if you want to. I'm going to preach you the truth. Amen. I'm telling you, we're asleep in the house of God. We give our little excuses. Amen. We're not late for work. We're not late for the doctor's appointment. We're not late for the dentist's appointment. We're not late for any further thing. But we can just casually come in just 20 minutes late, 30 minutes late, whatever the case may be. And I'm talking about every service. I don't like you. Well, I love you. That's the reason I'm telling you that. But she's there and she gives her excuses. And all of a sudden, though, notice what the Bible said. She said, how can I put off my coat? How can I do this? I've done prepared for the evening. I'm done prepared to go to sleep. All of a sudden, in verse 4, the Bible said, my beloved put his hand in the hole of the door. And my bowels and my heart was moved. Now I'll tell you something. You say, well, why didn't he just open the door? Because he isn't forceful. If he was forceful, every sinner in the house this morning would have prayed and got saved. Huh? If he was forceful, every sinner here and backslider tonight would get saved. He's not forceful. But he'll just speak. He'll talk to you through the preaching word of God. He'll talk to you through a song. He'll talk to you through a testimony. He'll talk to you. Amen. He put his hand in the door. Amen. When he could not prevail her, amen, by persuasion, he put his hand, amen, by the hole of the door to unbolt it. And as one weary of waiting, amen. What is this? He's trying to get her attention. And all of a sudden, I don't know exactly how their, amen, locks and doors was, but most commentators said that he reached in and unlocked the door, amen, with this smell and myrrh upon his hand, amen. And all of a sudden, this bride sees this. She is moved, amen, with her heart, the Bible said, and she rises up, amen, and she goes to the door and she opens to her beloved, amen. And when she does, her hands are drooping with the, amen, myrrh that he had left there, amen. She can smell him now. I mean, he has got on black suede must. For you Avon folks. And for you Dillard folks, he's got on. Help me out here, Jonathan. You shop at Dillard's. I'm a woman. Whew, there you go. Whatever that is. He wasn't speaking in tongues there. Amen. And for you poor folks, amen, Old Spice. Woo. Brute. I hear Brother XL laughing. Brute and Old Spice. And for you real spiritual men, eternity. Like Brother Russell McDonald preached one night. He preached on, or he didn't preach on, I heard him tell a young man, he come by, and boy, you could smell his cologne when he got about 3 feet from you. He said, "Phew, son, smells like you got that one night in Paris on." That's what Russell said. I didn't say that. McDonald. So, she's got her hand, amen, it's drooping with this myrrh. Her fingers are sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of this lock. I open to my beloved. Amen. I'm finally going to get up and go to the altar. I'm finally going to pray. Amen. Have you ever finally got up to do something? Have you ever finally decided, amen, that you're going to pray? Amen. And find it hard to pray? Find it like he's a million miles away? Amen. What was it? You didn't move when he first spoke to you. Amen. You kept going lower and lower and lower, and the whole time you was going down in that rut, he's trying to pull you out, but you never listened to him. You went all the way down to the bottom, and then all of a sudden you see where you're at, and you look around. Amen. I shouldn't be here. I'm on the bottom. Amen. And you try to climb back up, and you find it hard and difficult to get back to God. Amen. Come on here. I've had a backsliders to tell me, amen, that they it was so hard to get back the second time. I've had backsliders. I don't know if anybody else here feels like that, but I've had backsliders say it was harder the second time. Huh? Amen. Thank you, Sister Eloise. It was harder the second time. When he speaks, church, instantly respond. Huh? When you feel the touch of God, whether you're driving down the road or you're at home listening to the radio, whatever you're doing, when he touches you and deals with you to pray, don't put it off instantly. Amen. Have that sweet communion and fellowship with Christ. He put his hand in the hole of the door. Amen. Find some new scriptures about Lydia in Acts 16. Verse 14, you remember that scripture about Lydia? The Bible said, which worshiped God, amen, heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened. Amen. Luke 24, it talks about talks of the open and his disciples understanding. Oh, I'm telling you, Lord, open my heart. I have prayed. I said, God, when I become slothful, when I begin to come swaying away from you, woo me back to you, Lord. Don't let me get so far that I can't hear you. Don't let me get so far, amen, that you talking to me, amen, doesn't sound like an anthem, amen, but it sound like a little whisper. God, don't let me get so far. God, if you see me straying away, talk to me, Lord. Talk to me, Lord. Amen. One of the things that David said, amen, was as worse as hell. Amen. He said in Psalms 28 and verse 1, David complains, amen, never complains of anything with such a sorrowful, amen, asking as God's hiding his face from him and casting him off and forsaking him. And David said, it's like those that go down to the pit. David said, without God's presence in my life, amen, it's like going down to hell. David knew the importance of the presence of God. I would to God that every home would want the presence of God in their home more than anything else. I'm trying to preach my heart tonight. I've got a burden tonight. I'm telling you, I would to God our church would get stirred. I would to God we'd wake up. I'm not trying to say you're backslid. Please don't get hurt at me. But have your soul fail when he spake? Sometimes I've prayed, I'm honest, and say, God, I don't know what it's going to take to move in. You ever prayed that about anybody, Brother James? I don't know what it's going to take to move in. You ever prayed that way, Sister Eloise, Brother Russell? I don't know what it's going to take to move them. That's why I'm preaching. I don't know what it's going to take to get their attention. I don't know what it's going to take to wake them up. I don't know what it's going to take to get them to see that they need to rise higher. I don't know what it's going to take. That's what I'm preaching. Amen. When you read this, bride just giving her little frivolous excuses. Amen. When her beloved, amen, has cried out and knocked. Amen. Sent his voice open to me. Drew his head in the hole of the door and unlocked it. And when she finally arose and went to the door, and there she stood. She could smell him. She had the blessing. But can I tell you, what good is the blessing without the blesser? Huh? What good is the blessing without the blesser? You and I know, There's a lot of folks in church. They want the blessing, but they don't want the blesser. They want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. Huh? They want to feel good, but they don't want to live right. Huh? They want the dance. They want the spirit. They want all the excitement that goes on in church. But they don't want Christ full of control of their life. Huh? She was moved with compassion to her husband. She did not open at his first knock. Now she comes too late. Christ justly rebukes her by his denial, because when she finally opens the door, he's not there. Put him off. Put him off. Put him off tonight. Put him off this morning. Keep going your own way. Keep laying there doing your own thing. Go back to sleep in that dream world of sin. Just lollygag around in that dream world. Go right on. Amen. But there'll come a day, a week, a month from now. There'll be a tragedy coming in your life. The Bible calls it a calamity in Proverbs 1. There'll be a calamity coming. And all of a sudden, you'll go open the door. God, I need you. God. But he said, I won't be there. I'll laugh at your calamity when it comes upon you. Huh? Now, don't you get hurt at me. Please don't get hurt at me. I'm not saying God has shown me this, but I have felt for years. I've been in several senior citizens' homes. I'm not saying all by any means of the imagination, not even close to being all. But I just wonder sometimes, amen, we walk in there and we see a grandma 60, 70, 80 year old, or a grandpa 60, 70, 80 year old, and that sweet little spirit, and you wonder the crippling, you wonder why the no family, you wonder why the hurt, you wonder why a lot of things, why don't nobody come and see you? But could it be? I don't know. But I just wonder sometimes if people ain't reaping what they sowed in their youth. I pastored a lady one time, amen, who was wild, amen, very wild in her youth. This lady was probably in her late 60s now. She had several children. Every one of her children had different last names. But now this lady was a godly lady. I mean, she was a godly lady, a praying lady, a powerful lady. Really, she was. Amen. Amen. But I've heard her stand and testify. I don't know why my children ain't saved. I don't know why my children ain't saved. And I'm thinking, sister, do you remember the 40, the 50 years that you lived a wild life in sin? Amen. Thank God you got saved when you was 50. Amen. Thank God you're godly lady now and you're a praying lady. But do you remember all of those years? Amen. Sean be saying, I don't know why. She ought to be saying, Lord, forgive me. Oh, God, I made so many bad choices. I'm asking for the mercy of God. I'm pleading for the mercy of God. No doubt she failed to remember the Creator and the days of her youth. There have been a lot of mama and a lot of daddy got saved in their old age, and their children is living as wild as they did when they was young. But now they're saved and they're having the same problem that Lot did. Amen. When he vexed his child. Are you with me tonight? I hope I hurt nobody's feelings, but I'm telling you, having the same problem that Lot did. There was another man. Was it Manasseh? Manasseh was another man that had that same problem. You remember that? I mean, he was a vile, wicked. He was the one that had the god of Molech, that statue with that open belly, flames in that, and he caused the people to bring their babies, newborn babies, and sacrifice them to that god. And they would play drums real big and loud because it would drown out the crying of those babies. Amen. And he calls them, the Bible says he calls them to do worse than the heathen. But then he got saved. He got right with God in his early, late life. You remember that story? But he couldn't turn them. He failed in his youth to hear the voice of God. Do you see the danger of missing God when God talks to you? Do you see the danger of hearing God speak to you to rise up higher, to live holier? I mean, we just give our excuses and we just we can frivolously just tell God all of our... Where'd you miss God? Where'd you miss God? Why don't you go back and look? Where'd you miss God? Where'd you get off the path? You once shouted, it's been 5, 10 years now since you've danced in the Spirit. You once could shout your hair down, but now it's been so many years. You used to could run, and the Holy Ghost would just be in it and bless you and touch your life. But now look, it's been years since you've danced in the Spirit. We still believe in that, don't we? We're Pentecostal. Oh, God. My soul failed. I wish I could go back, preacher. I'm not going to tell you, but there's a few things in my life, Brother James, I wish I could go back and redo. I'll tell you one thing. When I first got married, and you've heard me tell, I won't go through it, but I didn't know how to be a husband. I wish I could take that first year and a half of our marriage, and I wish I could somehow erase that from my wife's memory. Oh, she's forgave me 1,000 times. Boy, you wish you could go back. And as you get older, you look at your children, and there's things about your children you wish you could go back and change. Does anybody else ever feel like that besides me? You wish you could go back and change. You see some mistakes. You see some things you could have done better. You see some times where you were cold and where you didn't do just right. And now it's affected your children. My soul failed. But if you'll be honest, a lot of times when you look back, you can see, you can remember where God tried to deal with you. Where God tried to help you. And you failed to hear and heed to the Spirit of God. You don't think the Spirit of God is trying to get into some of these churches? You're wrong. He loves people. God loves people. I remember the first church I pastored. I left there and resigned after about a year and a half. I had to. There was no way possible I could stay. Not because of any trouble on my part. But there was just things that was unethical going on. Just different things. I don't have time to get into it. And lost my train of thought. That's bad. Anyway. You do that when you're 44. Thank you. God loves people. That's exactly right. Thank you, Brother Jonathan. And I remember an older man that got hurt. Not at me, but just he'd been there for 20, 30 years, and he left. And it didn't split the church or nothing like that, but there was just 2 or 3 left. And anyways... And I remember he would get around me sometime, and boy, he would be so mean toward that church in his conversation. Listen to me. I mean, I'm telling you, that church is going to, it's just untelling what God does to that church. It's just untelling. And I said, Brother Bob, wait a second. I said, God loves people. Don't put the cross and skull on it. I forgive them. Let it go. It ain't worth it. Doesn't mean a hill of beans. And I can be honest with that. I didn't have any problem. Yes, I was hurt. Yes, there was some things that shouldn't have been done. But I never one time, private or public, ever said, that God just going to send you. God loves people. And you know what I said? I said, God, send a man in there. God greater than I am. God that can build and uplift. There's some good people there. Are you with me? I want to tell you, amen. Oh, my soul failed. What's he talking to you about? Huh? Come to the piano. Brother Davis, you and your family come, please. My soul failed. The Davis family come. What's he speaking to you about? She got up. I saw him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. I preached here, I think about a year ago. Now come down on this text on down in here in chapter 5, where she sends out watchmen to go look for him. And I don't have time to get into all this, but she begins to describe her beloved. You remember that? The rest of this, oh, he's this. His eyes are like this. He's white and ruddy. He's chiefest among 10,000. His head is the most fine gold. His looks are lushy. Amen. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. I'll put my glasses on so I can read. I mean, she just began to describe. He's tall, dark, and handsome. He's perfect. He's a perfect 10. Amen. But I'm thinking, yes, but you, just a few moments, amen, he was trying to get in. Amen. But you wouldn't open. My soul failed when he spake. Ask the backslider. They'll tell you, I made the worst decision of my life when I left God. You know, one of the saddest things for a pastor, can I share my heart for any pastor, is when you see somebody in your church going the opposite direction from God, and you see week after week, month after month, God trying to turn them around. But to no avail. I'm telling you one more time. Keep the door shut if you want. Don't get up. Don't awake how you sleep. Fool yourself. I'll tell you something. You can't be saved and sinning at the same time. If you're sinning, you're not saved. You're wasting your time to get on your knees and pray if you are continually sinning. I would rather somebody be cold turkey, backslide, cold turkey. Huh? That's exactly. Thank you, Brother James. I would that you'd be cold or hot. Because when you're lukewarm, when you think you can go out those doors and get along somewhere in the dark and sin, and then come right back on in here Wednesday night, and then go out on Friday night and sin, and then come right back here on Sunday morning. I'm not trying to be mean. I hate sin. I hate sin. I hate sin. I know what sin can do. I've seen it done in my family. I've seen it done in people I've pastored. I've seen it to close friends. Can you hear the Spirit talk to you at all? Are you moved any? Is there any emotion anymore? When there was a time when the least little move of the Holy Ghost, you would move toward God. I remember in church in Hazard, Sister Donna was probably one of the most prayingest ladies of our church. Fasted all the time. I mean, just a godly, unreal prayer warrior, powerful lady. And if I was preaching this message there already, she would have already been to the altar. She was so sensitive. wasn't because she had low self-esteem. Was it because she just was feeble-minded? She was so sensitive. I mean, God used her tongues, interpretation, the gifts of the Spirit. You wonder sometimes, though, if dynamite can move some folks to an altar. I preached the other night about giving God the glory. And I said, I haven't seen some of you even testify. But can I say something and not hurt, but say it in love? I've not seen some even kneel at an altar. I've been here almost 3 years. You come to this church, but every now and then, good to kneel down at an altar. Trying to be mean. You ever go try to get your kid up to go to school? One time don't do it. Sometimes you get up, honey. It's time for, most time that don't work for children. Get up. Kapow. Get up. I said, get up. You know, I'm saying kidding now. You don't be mean to him, but I mean, get up. I mean, get up. I'm going to have to get a switch. Anybody else ever do that besides me? Help me out, you folks. Be brave. I'm gonna come in here in a minute. Sometimes you have to do that as a pastor. Kind, sometimes you get up, please get up. But then sometimes you gotta have a message like tonight. But I say it in love. Please get up. Please wake up. Let's stand all over the house. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I feel drained tonight, physically, spiritually. I've been preaching long enough, Lord. I know not a whole lot, but I do know a little. And I do feel like, God, you're dealing with hearts. I don't want to make people mad at me, Lord, and hate me. That's not my intent. God, I've got to be a watchman on a wall. And when I see things, Lord, if I don't warn them, then their blood's going to be required. They might get mad at me. They might drive down the road and say, I'll never go hear that preacher grin. But I say with every ounce of love I can tonight, what I've said in love. Get up. Get up out of that bed of slothfulness. This altar's open. Everybody come. Sing, David's family, please.
Jesus redeemed us from sin and from shame. Let me save into the fold.
My soul failed when he spake.
And why he should love us, we never.
Lord, I'm worried. I'm concerned.
But
I'm honest, Lord.
More precious than gold.
I heard the Holy Ghost say through Brother Jerry Turner
to me
what he said on homecoming day.
Than gold. His love
he said the Holy Ghost said. And the Holy Ghost don't make a mistake. I've seen preacher after preacher, God, come through and try to reach. And I could hear every time a preacher preach, I could hear the knocking of the Holy Ghost trying to wake somebody out of a sleep.
Thus for our Savior to Calvary he must go.
My God.
Such love.
Don't get hurt.
Has never been known.
Get up. Get up.
But free.
Get up.
He died there. Through him we
get up.
Can live.
Get over it. Get up. Get out of that rush. Get out of that valley. Get out of that low place. Wake up!
Will he
wake up
to me?
Wake up! Get up! Get up! I feel the Holy Ghost! Get up! Get off of that bed of slothfulness!
And though we may on earthly treasures untold.
See, you're already fine. He's talked to you so much. You'll pray good at times, but then you'll go right back. That's my point. It's harder that second time. It's harder that third time. You've got to get a made up mind. You've got to make up your heart. I'm getting tired of this rut. I'm getting up once and for all. I got to set my clock to pray and read my Bible. I'll set my clock and read my Bible. If I got to push the plate back once a week, I'll push the plate back once a week. Sing, sing.
Oh,
I feel the Lord here.
More precious than gold.
Oh, God, let my words, God, be with love.
His love.
Oh, God. I don't want to come across as mean, Lord, or unkind.
And
oh, God, I'm commanded, charged by the Bible to warn. I'm telling you, look at yourself, look at your home, look at your family. He can knock. He can knock with his word. He can knock with his spirit. But he also can knock with affliction.
More precious than gold.
Oh, God. Sing, David's family.
His love doth ever enfold. And though we lay on earthly treasure untold, still he is more precious than gold. Jesus redeemed us from sin and from shame. Let us safe into the fold. And why he should love us, we never can know. But he is more precious than gold. Well, he is to me more precious than gold. His love doth ever enfold. And though we may on earthly treasures untold, still he is more precious.
Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost still moving here in this altar service.
Well, he is to me more precious than gold.
Is he precious to you? How precious is he, church?
His love doth ever enfold. And though we
that's it. Set my soul on fire. God, in this last hour, that spirit of lethargy, Lord, that spirit of coldness, God, Lord, it said the love of many would wax cold. Don't let that be me, Lord. It said there's going to come a great falling away. Don't let that be me. It said, Lord, that there are going to be some give their ear to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Don't let that be me, Lord. Help me to be that one that's looking for that appearing, watching for. Come on, saint. Oh, Spirit of God. Holy, 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 holy. God, give us revival.
It happened so slowly.
Oh, yes.
Step at a time.
Listen.
The wrong kind of music.
Yeah.
The wrong friends by your side. No time for church. No time to pray. The coming of the Lord seems so very far away. Would you wake up? See that you're lost. You've drifted away from the blood of the cross. Satan has you blinded. He has you deceived. Would you wake up? Fall to your knees. Oh, please turn around. Time is running out. I know he'll accept you without a doubt. Give your life back to God. Let him have control. Surrender all to Jesus. Your heart, your life, and your soul. Would you wake up? See that you're lost. You've drifted away from the blood of the cross. Satan has you blinded. He has you deceived. Would you wake up? Fall to your knees. Oh, please turn around. Time is running out. I know he'll accept you without a doubt. Give your life back to God. Let him have control. Surrender all to Jesus. Your heart, your life, and your soul. Would you wake up? See that you're lost. You've drifted away from the blood of the cross. Satan has you blinded. He has you deceived. Would you wake up? Fall to your knees. Would you wake up? That you're lost. You've drifted away from the blood of the cross. Satan has you blinded. He has you deceived. Would you wake up? Fall to your knees.